We're here tonight to talk about how the ACA Council Local Board and the other CEOs are going to work and what it means for that borough and our local community. I'll hand it over to Caroline, who does all our downtowns. She's a professional at it. We'll leave Caroline there. Thank you very much.
Alright, welcome everybody. So tonight we're looking at the ACA discussion documents on the local boards and the CCOs. So these are two documents. What I'll do is I'll go through the presentation. I'll try to keep it as unbiased as I can. And sort of do it as a comment of the ACA chair. So we'll just not read that and then at the end of it, we always go back to the slide, you're going to go back. And then Ross, I'm sure you'll be taking notes of the State Health Occurrence Submission. So we'll be really keen to hear your feedback and what you think while we've gone through the presentation to help shape up the submission for the State Health Occurrence group and also dedicated to your own submission. So here we go. So the local boards. They're intended to have a significant and wide-ranging role and they'll make decisions on local matters. And they will be the face of local government, and that's what the ACA picks up from the legislation.
The
Pick of
Government
Council. Right? The Pick of Government Council. Yes. And they'll be regulated with the communities they represent, and they will have input into region-wide strategies, including plans and those of the CCO, so that's the Council Control Organisation.
Will they agree or is
it... No, we'll take questions at the end, okay? Right, so the local board plan. Now, one of the key things the local boards are required to do is put a local board plan together. So at the moment the council puts together a long-term council community plan, LCCCP, every 3 years, and we put together an annual plan every year, sort of pulling bits out from the LCCCP. So instead, the local board will be required for us a local board plan together, and as that's a bit that we prepare every 3 years, and it'll help to inform the Auckland LCCCP. So that's how the links go together. It will describe the local community aspirations, and it needs to consider the Auckland Council estimated budget for the local board and what costs will be met by local funding sources, such as administration fees and charges of rates. Now what's not explained is how these two link together, because if the Auckland Council and the local board are preparing, if the Auckland Council is preparing its LCCCP in the same year the local boards are producing their plans, and yet the local board plans have to take into account the estimated budget that the Auckland Council is going to give them, they will somehow they need to be at different times so that one knows what the other one's going to do. Like, the local board almost needs to know the budget that's going to be allocated so it can plan taking that into consideration. And yet, its plan needs to happen before the Auckland LCCCP is done, because otherwise they won't know what the local board wants to do. So there's going to have to be some communication between them or it's going to have to happen sort of at different times. And that's something I sort of was aware of as I sort of wrote the presentation. So the local board, now this is also linked into that previous slide, but there's a local board agreement, and each local board negotiates an agreement with the Auckland Council annually on the delivery of funding and services for the local area. So somehow that has got a link into the local plan as well. And so in a way the local Auckland Council and the local board are agreeing a budget and a level of service that they're wanting to provide. And that should be, and the local board agreement needs to be consistent with the local board plan as far as practicable. Now that's quite an important word, as far as practicable, because it means who determines when it's not practical to follow the plan that was in the local plan that was agreed to by the community. So again, it leaves some unanswered questions. So the local board and the Auckland Council will need to work closely together to reach agreement. And there's quite a bit of emphasis in the document and in the legislation on what happens if the two parties can't agree. and about the mediation process that would occur at that point. So it looks, you know, so it's quite clear that they're expecting some sort of quite heated discussions between the local board and the local council around the budgets and the level of service that both parties might decide that they're eligible for, and there might be a big difference between the two. So the Auckland Transition Authority is also required to prepare a planning document, and they're required to prepare the Auckland Council's first planning document by the 31st of October 2010, which is prior to the election. So they will prepare, in a way, the first annual plan for the new council, removing some parameters about Auckland Council. Yes, that will provide the foundation for the 2011-2012 annual plan and local board agreement. So there's quite an intricate network of plans and agreements to be developed both before the election, which is this planning document put together by the ACA, which is not an elected body, it does not have council representation, and yet it's going to plan the first document for the Auckland Council. Then somehow the local boards are going to have to put their first local board plan together by April 2011, so 6 months after they've been elected. That somehow be based on a budget, and that's going to feed into the Auckland Council's long-term capital community plan. So it's quite complicated, and it's a recipe for disaster on the board. Board partners actually agree with each other, because it's very easy to work with board to come up with a lovely plan of what your community wants to do, but it might cost millions and millions of dollars. I mean, you're going to have to wait for it to be Auckland Council that's doing the voting for it. So I'm sure there'll be some heated discussions between the two parties. So there's also the ACA talks about the funding formula, and the Auckland Council are required to develop a local board funding policy. It's very interesting because it's Auckland Council that determines the local board funding policy. So they will set a formula to guide allocation of funding between the local boards for local activities and administrative support. That might well be based on population. They might put some weighting on needs, it's probably easier to put on some sort of population-based funding. And then for 2011-12, this is quite important, the areas like Huntsboro, where we have quite low rates in comparison to the region, any change in rates, and that will be the first rate that the Auckland Council will do, will be a percentage movement over the 2010-11 rate. So across the region, if the Auckland Council decides that the rate will go up 5%, then you'll get a rate increase of 5%. They won't just even it out over the region in the first year, so you won't suddenly end up with huge rate increases that's affecting that with everybody else. But then that's the product comes a year later. And it may be no sort of by chance that 2011-12 is also the general election year. Targeted rates. Now this is something that has been mentioned in the third bill, and it's also mentioned in the ACA discussion document. They can be used to raise additional funding for local activities, and local boards can use targeted rates to top up its funding and provide additional or higher level of service. And the proposal for targeted rates would be included in the local board plan. And the Auckland Council must agree to any proposals as part of the local board agreement process. So again, we've got here, imagine the Auckland Council having a discussion with the local board about their plan, saying, well, you've been a bit, you've got a bit of a high wish list there, and it's a bit expensive, we're not willing to fund all that. You're going to need to put in a whole, if you want to do that, then you need to put in some funding as well. So how they then get included in the local plan as well, the other discussions all happen side by side, and could make this process quite long-winded. There is also quite a bit of concern around how the cultural transformation to UK is great, because they could try and keep their own rates low and push the increases onto the local boards through tightening the rates. We have prime examples around the region would be Oakland, who have been desperate to use the responding pool. They might say, okay, if you're responding pool, but you can fund it at the same rate, which means that community are likely to pay cost of something that's really expensive. And yet, you know, it probably should be more than funded at the regional level. So, council's responsibility is divided into non-regulatory responsibility and regulatory responsibility. So the non-regulatory ones are things like your roads, community halls, events, quite a lot. It's probably the most of the stuff that council does. So the Auckland Transition Authority will make the initial allocation of activities that the local board will do. And the APA has taken the approach of why not rather than why can't they? So they really say we'll put as much as we can to the local board, but they can do it rather than they can't do it. And the Auckland Council was making a future allocation using principles of the Act and consider the views and preferences of each local board. And there is some signal in the APA discussion option that not all the local boards may necessarily have the same responsibility. So again, the responsibilities of the local boards may change as the role of the governing body and the local boards develop. So, the activities the local board have suggested that they're allowed to do are not set in legislation. So what this clearly signals is that the things that they can do will be at the discretion of the Auckland Council. The Auckland Council needs to either improve those activities or they can form the Act, which is a little bit of a concern, very much at the influence of the issues of the Auckland Council and how they wish to control spending or control activities, and in a way it doesn't allow local boards to control their own destiny as much. The services provided by the Auckland Council will evolve over time in response to local views and decisions of councillors. And the APA, given that they said that they will make the initial allocation of activities to local boards, then go on to say they have not provided us with some of these activities. So it does get a bit confusing. And the type of things they're suggesting is, just check that the table they include goes on and on the page, so I thought we won't go through every single bit. But the sort of thing they're proposing, for example, is the library. They said the local board's responsibility would be around things like the location, design, build and fit out of local libraries, such as the library furniture, fittings and artwork. The design and type of community facilities within libraries, such as learning facilities and meeting spaces. Local exhibitions, programs and events within libraries, local collections. Variations to region-wide service standards for local area, such as opening hours, fees and charges, and advocacy to achieve local priorities relating to library services to input into regional library strategies and policy. So that's what they want the local board to do, and what the Auckland Council will do is to set the library strategy and policy, the number and general location of new libraries, the library collection policy and practice, including development and maintenance, region-wide service standards and guidelines for library services, such as opening hours, fees and charges, so that means any fees on library charges will be paid regionally, regional exhibitions, programs and events within libraries. So that's one example. And the other one is around, I'll give you an example, is around events. So the local board would be responsible for local events, including attraction, development, delivery and promotion, local event sponsorship and advocacy to achieve local priorities relating to regional events and input into regional event strategy and policy. The Auckland Council would do the regional event strategy and policy, including region-wide events plan, events facilities such as Vector Arena, coordinating regional events, regional event sponsorship, facilitating filming and film consenting permits, but also then it's notable that many of these activities are likely to be within the responsibility of the event and or regional facilities CPO. And accordingly, the key role for the governing body is likely to relate to the adoption of the strategies and policies and the governance of the CPO. So that's an example of how they see the relationship between the local board and the Auckland Council on those things. So, facilities and projects. So the ATA was to determine if individual facilities or programs are local or regional, and the specific responsibilities for individual local boards may differ. So again, they picked up on the facilities around the region, so today it's a big one for regional and the little one for local. So for example, they've given an example here, local ones would be, like local events would be things like Tapakura Town, the Sunset Concert that we've got on at the moment, the Tapakura Spring Carnival. The regional event would be something like the Rugby World Cup. And the local facilities would be things like the Tapakura Art Gallery, the Hawkins Theatre. The regional facilities would be things like the AAPA Centre, the Auckland Art Gallery, the Auckland Museum, and the Cultural Theatre Convention Centre.
Possibly very small apart from the country.
So that's kind of those. Then the regulatory responsibilities are things like your bylaws, your job registration, your resource consent. So the Act enables the Auckland Council to delegate regulatory responsibility to local boards. The ATA can't do that. At the moment, the ATA is doing that in all stages of the Auckland Council. And there's many regulatory responsibilities of interest to local boards, such as dog exercise areas and the location of brothels. And I don't know why they haven't put that on the location of brothels. It can't all be in the act. I look like it's a key thing to help them through it. Don't do that very much at all. So it's much more around resource consent, building consent, your parking wardens, those sorts of things. Liquor license, say like where do you have liquor bans in your park, that sort of thing, all comes under there. So the Auckland Council is responsible for making the bylaws, so is the Auckland Transport Authority, and the local board can identify and communicate interest in bylaws and then propose bylaws. So what they're suggesting is the local board, if they've got an issue locally, can actually write out the bylaws, do all the work on it, give it to the Auckland Council and say, are you happy to support this? That's right, so you don't tell me to know. The Auckland Council can delegate decisions to be made under bylaws to the local board. But again, that's the thing of the Auckland Council, and you know, I don't see them doing much delegation on the So that's around the regulatory aspect of things. And there's a whole raft of things listed here, which is your liquor, some of your liquor stuff, your dog control, public places. We also, the health and food licensing stuff around. I'm just going to say, the things that come up is like whether cafes can put tables outside, that comes under this requirement, signage, like a lot of the signage that goes up. And if you drive around the region, communities have very different rules around tennis boards and signage and those sorts of things. Your gambling and gaming stuff, because some of the councils around the region have actually put a thinking cap on the number of poker machines in their community. So again, you may not want something like that to change regionally. And that's because then they may ask local boards what they want in their own local areas, because again, it's something that might differ around the region. What works in Auckland Central around, you know, the Auckland Central area, the big hotels may not want it, might be okay in there, it's not okay in Hapakura or Fukuhari or somewhere. The district plan, the Auckland Council is going to be responsible for developing the district plan, and the local board will communicate initiatives for the local community, and the Auckland Council will also be responsible for setting policy on resource complaints, building permits and legislation, heritage orders and consent compliance. I think it's quite late at night. So the consent compliance around your resource consent. And the local board will have an advocacy role on resource consent. Now they don't explain what that means. Whether it means that the local board can make a submission on resource consent, because resource consents are only things like buildings or activities that are not permitted. So for instance, if someone wants to set up they are really noisy business activity in the centre of town, and then it was non-compliant activity, then whether they would expect the local board to be able to put a permission or comment on that, I'm not sure, because they don't go into any detail on that. And so support for local boards. There will be a manager for the local board services, and staff reporting to the manager will be located at offices across the region, and each office will support the local board. Now that statement signals that perhaps Casper may not get its own local office, and there is talk of the same thing around from the Men's Health office. Local boards are likely, it's just as local boards are likely to the whole region locally. So if the people are elected in their local community and at public meetings, you would almost expect them to hold their meetings locally. And that may be something you want to focus on, is that there should be an expectation that meetings by the local boards are held in their local community. And there's two identified how meetings and that will relate to local service centres. So I think they're trying to figure out what the local service centres will do. And the local board will have an opportunity to participate in the social policy forum. Now that's a forum that was mentioned in the Royal Commission report, and it has been picked up by Paul Bennett, the Minister of Social Development. That's something that's usually seen as quite important for the Auckland region to progress social policy in Auckland region. The APA is still to determine how the local board will work with the ethnicity. So there's still some unanswered questions, and given that elections were in November, there's not fun to go. So we move on to the next one, which is the council control organisation. So I can come back to this slide later on as we want to discuss them. So the Auckland Council will agree a statement of intent with each CTO, and the statement of intent will set the CTO's activities, objectives, performance measures and reporting requirements. And they're published annually, so you can get a chance to look at them. The Auckland Council will appoint the directors and the trustees after the initial appointments are made. So it was broadly effective for a lot of directors to do their seats, determined by Rodney. Then the Auckland Council will be able to appoint the future directors and trustees on the CCA. Interestingly, the APA recommends an advisory board to appoint directors and to provide advice to council committees in regard to the CTO and the appointment of directors to the CTO. So even in that regard, it doesn't look like they entirely trust the elected representatives of the region to actually pick decent directors to run the CTO. And the CTO must work within the framework of the regional strategy, and the Auckland Council and the CTO need to collaborate on the work programme and the provision of funding. So again, the Auckland Council is going to spend a lot of time discussing funding levels, but they're not only going to be discussing funding of the local boards with the 21 local boards, they'll also be spending time discussing the work programme and funding for the 7 CTOs. So far we'll be that by all. The local boards are also likely to be working with the CTOs, and that makes sense because one of the CTOs is the Transport Authority, and the Transport Authority will be managing all transport services within the Auckland region, including things like the provision of bus stops, where local bus services will go, bus timetables, local roads, footpaths. So it would make sense for them to come out and talk to local boards to find out what they actually need and what's going to work for that community. So the CCO, the Council Controlled Organisation, Yorkton Council will be able to delegate part of its responsibility for government oversight of smaller CCOs and local boards where appropriate. They didn't give any examples of that, but that might be something like a small trust that runs an art gallery or even like a local customer, and it's the VCO control is done through the same customer trust, which is a little VCO, so whether they'll allow those to continue or not, it's unclear. So the CCO talk is subject to local government official information meetings act, which is good, and cabinet will approve. The cabinet approved waterfront development agencies and the other in principle CTOs. So the APA recognises one that's already been approved by the cabinet, which is the waterfront development agency, and that's really been approved so that they can push in it with the part of the central for the World Cup and the development of that front, that area in the main waterfront area. And in principle, there's agreement with the economic development CTO, tourism and events, property holdings, major regional facilities, and central investment. And then we've got Yorkton Transport Authority on top of that. So very much all the nuts and bolts of what Yorkton Council does pretty much are geared up in terms of control and organisation. And a number of CCOs are still to be determined, which means that they haven't finished putting everything into CCOs. It's still like to find other things that they need to go to CCOs. And there will be additional accountability requirements on the larger CCOs, but that hasn't been spelled out yet. Like the Yorkton Transport CCOs, the Yorkton Council will set a 30-year strategy for the Yorkton Transport, and the CCO, the Yorkton Transport Authority, will plan and deliver all local government transport related activities, and the Yorkton Council can delegate a range of local decisions to the local board, so that's why I talked about like the bus stops and the local parks and those sorts of things. And the local boards will provide input into the transport strategy and programme. However, saying that, any person, any general public person can also normally submit into transport plans and they should come out of concentration. So whether the local board views will carry any more weight than the average person in the street to FCN. So the CTO, now there is some debate around the CTO and the APA has put in kind of the benefits and the pros and cons really of the CTO. So they've identified that some people view CTO is undemocratic and that it, and that all services should be provided by employees of Yorkton Transport. And also, they also like to comment that CTOs are seen as too independent from council and the public is powerless to influence them. And once they've got their statement of intent and their directors are appointed and they've got their work programme, they're very in front of the public to say what they're doing. There's also creation of silos, which is where you've got, each one you might have the transport authority there and the regional facilities one there, they're both doing their own thing, they might not necessarily talk to each other. So the regional facilities one could decide, right, we're going to build this major new facility, let's just say we're going to build that there, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be a place that can hold 20,000 people, but they don't talk to the Yorkton Transport Authority about how they're raising more capacity or anything else like on the benefit side of things, there's an argument that they have an improved commercial focus and they're focused on business objectives. You have this opportunity to appoint a professional board of directors. However, not all the things that councils do have a commercial focus, and that's been one argument with the Transport Authority, is that the Transport Authority is not delivering transport services to the region with the intention of making a profit. So whilst you might have a board of directors that has a commercial focus, you know, they normally go and run a business, like they might run a telecom or Countdown with the aim of making a profit on their shareholders. These CTOs are not designed to make a profit, they're designed to deliver a range of services to meet the needs of the people of Auckland. So Well, that's right, you know, when they, you know, and then you have to question the motives around why they think it's set up. There's also ring-fencing of financial risk, so you kind of like each one's got a pot of money, and if they have cash a bit, it doesn't take the service to buy the right one together. Yeah, and there's also the economy of scale, but again, I'm sure the people that would say that's unproven as well, or, you know, it may be proven, or you get to the commoners in the room, it's probably a good discussion around that. But the CCO is the local board, so the local board may vary the level of service or project based on the priorities identified in their local plan. And the Auckland Council, CCO and local board will need to collaborate on the CCO work program. So there's got to be a lot of cooperation of working together. And interestingly, when you look back, this whole rehash of the Auckland government structure was designed or was pushed because it said that the mayor, you know, the councils of the region couldn't agree, couldn't work together, and they had eight councils. And pretty much they, yeah, as much as the government might say they didn't work well together, well, a lot of things they did work well together, and in the democracy, you know, it's representative of the referendum, so sometimes it's healthy because you actually get a better outcome. Here we're looking at 21 local boards, 7 CEOs, and the Auckland Council and 20 councillors, all supposed to be collaborating all together on a work program. So that should be entertaining. So the local board can advocate on behalf of their community. Now that phrase keeps coming up. And when you think of what advocacy means, advocacy just means, like any of you who have been involved in the Faith Travel Tourist Commission, or if you're involved in a residence group, or you're involved in a church group, and you're going up, that's what advocacy is. It's just going to someone and saying, we would like this for our community. You have no power, and you have no real decision making front. You really just go there and say, please, we would like it. Yeah, and they can say no. Okay, we listen to you, but we don't support you. And also the general public will have direct access to the CCO, so I think they will come out with any plans and stuff like water care currently do, water transport do, and people can read those plans. And again, placing that in place permission. And you actually have to question how much more power the local board will have compared to the average person who takes the time to read one of those documents and place permission. The CCOs and ARCAP will, by the end of March, that's this month, ARCA aims to finalise for Cabinet the number of CCOs, their activities and their proposed management structure. Now, given this was originally about saving money, and the 8 councils of the region had 8 mayors and there were 8 CEOs, each of these council control organisations will have a CEO, so they will have a chief executive officer. So we've gone from 8 chief executive officers, one for each of the councils. We will now have 7 chief executives for each of the CEOs, plus the chief executive officer for the Auckland Council will be paid a lot more than anybody before they are. So again, this doesn't show much evidence of the savings being made. And the council controlled organisations, it's been estimated, will control between 70 and 95% of the council rate. So that, which is a real concern for most, and that's been raised as a real concern at submission on the third bill. So feedback on these documents, they're actually quite nice, not big documents. Most of the stuff that comes out of the bill is really thick. These are actually reasonably readable, and I think one of the pages in there is 52. So they're actually not too bad dates. Feedback by 5 o'clock, 26th of March, and I will send it in by post or to that website. I don't get the impression they're going to be here anymore, but they put some questions at the back, and I think the first question is possibly an answer for anybody else. Don't try and answer these questions. I'll just read this first one. The first one, in relation to the local board document, says, Given the principles in the Local Government Act 2009, what are your views on the allocation of non-regulatory responsibilities in Table A? I think most of us wouldn't worry about answering in that way to the question. Go for it and pick out, you know, the things that you really want us to focus on, which is the activities of the local board and as is the power of the CCO. So I think we can probably so we'll just take questions in advance and then I'll probably go back and get them in notes if people want to go back to or comments are useful too, across the line and take notes on comments as well, so you know.
Yes, too late for us to make another representation to the local government commission. So we could either be standalone as far as the Grand Photograph or perhaps join the Franklin and the Photograph Franklin standalone, not involved with us.
We wrote a letter to Ron Hyde.
Yes, I need the letter.
Yeah, PEPFRA doesn't meet the criteria to come out. Ministry of Hurry. So we wrote to one there and we got an answer there because we had to go through the local commission, which is what we've done. We haven't got an answer there yet. We really want a pretty signal answer to our We've also written letters to John Carter and got an answer back that we've got to go through the local government commission. We also wrote a letter to the Prime Minister asking if they can give us an exemption from the criteria. So at the moment I wouldn't hold the grip.
No, and did you try putting asking if we can be put together with Franklin?
No, we haven't done that. More so at the same time Franklin was putting an application into Ronnie Hyde as well, not application asking. And they also love being turned down flat. But we haven't agreed to get it down with Franklin.
That would be a good possibility because that would make it they're not fortunate to be looking for and to stand
yes, up. It's more than a possibility, but I don't think the government's going to allow it or accept it. More so because that gives other regions credit to do the same. But we haven't given up.
So we'll keep trying. Try it with Franklin.
I wouldn't hold the grip on
it. The other thing we can do in Paradise is why we're often looking at doing that sort of thing. We can also look at making sure we put submissions in asking for stronger local boards and their activities as we can, so that even if we don't do the entry authority, this one's the local board, we've actually got a bit of branch in the decision making. So it's kind of, you know, going to be paying someone.
I'm concerned about the local board. It sounds like we've been able to do a lot of work doing the
the local boards will be resourced to fit their needs. But that is a legislation. So it probably will not the local board making the thing up themselves as well.
They will have staff, but they won't be employed by the local board, they will be employed by the local council. But there will be a manager of the local board who will support the local board staff.
Well, and so are we also going to have a local
board
council representative office as well?
So I see that going to each office will support a number of boards. So no, from that you get the message each local board is not going to have its own office. So that's something that the commission can pick up and that's quite important for each local board to be able to work.
Well, and
the ward councillors that are registered with the council how do they represent that to their community?
Well, what I'm thinking about is, you know, we want to be able to knock on those doors,
yeah.
like if you knock on the door to get in there,
yeah.
and, you know,
I hear that they're going to be in Auckland City most of the time. It's very easy to get about the local community.
Well,
I'm
really curious about the social policy forum because, you know, when we were talking, this business model being followed and, you know, the corporate structure, and I see there the locals with an opportunity to participate in social policy forum. Now, how strong is this? I know that there is a recommendation from, you know, people who came up with the red line, it was really strong. The social policy and the government's right here, and it's been to me, this is here. And it's been, I'm wondering what the key to that is.
Yeah.
It's not the CCO of the social policy, is it? But we didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, yeah. And this is not touched on it, other than that sort of comment. There's not been any detail around social policy forum. So, again, that's something that would be useful to pick up in a submission box around. Signal that we would like to see a lot more detail around the social policy forum because we didn't quite have a through it. It's probably really important. But some of those things that we have been pushing forward, like the ambassador scheme, community programs, what else have we been doing with some of the social policy? Yeah, private role, yeah, neighbourhood support groups, I know we're in total to sit on the future structure.
They have been, you know, they're all kind of local boards. Now what they'll do with it, who knows, but that's still the detail that no one knows about. I mean, that would be the idea of the government, this council will still use the local means and what we call local council. It's not called local council, but we like to call it local council. We would like to see, if it would be good, if we still use this building, the local board and possibly the ward council can use. You will see lighting, and it's not detailed yet, satellite council buildings scattered throughout the district. And I think there'll be enough people will be in outrage and getting a manicure for all your council service. So I think common sense, we shouldn't use it.
For a long time, the council has signalled we want a community house for some of our community services, like Device Bureau, those sorts of things. There's a lot of community groups that struggle with commercial rent, but actually like the council will often find accommodation, like we've got, there's a number in the community. And so a building like this would, you know, it's always been quite overrated, but I'm quite all quite sure that's what community is going to be.
They're actually going to have to sell themselves.
Yeah.
Because, for example, what we have in the genealogy society, which is
yeah.
And some of the board and city council have to say, well, yeah, that's it. Just think about it. It's not that positive
development. Now, that's one thing that there is a moratorium on, that, you know, what's the figure? 250,000 at the moment.
Yeah.
Now that goes to 2015. At the moment they can't do that for 2015, but you need to know on the platform, couldn't you?
Actually, I'll tell you to do with that.
Yep, well, I'll come back to you.
So I've got a $23 billion leaky open thing. We're going to have to fund that from somewhere.
But it is a possibility to come, I do agree with you.
Okay,
but it is quite hard for a building like this, no matter who is in control of it, to reverse the original intent. You said, like Caroline's quite right, it has to go back into the original the family. They have to care for it. A bit like when up here, what was the name? The Cole Street was sold. It just has to go back to the original family.
Yeah, that's under the legislation as it is now. The government has decided to put a new act through cancelling the act, they can then do something else with it. And the other thing is that this building would actually make a good library, so that it should survive it down here and sell the building that the library is going to do.
You can't do that, it's already sold.
There's quite a different piece of legislation for us to write it, because there's a lot of stuff that was taken in the Public Works Act over a number of years that would offer back and give, and also you've got original family who own the land, you've also got some of the land that comes under treaty settlement issues. You know, quite complicated, I don't know.
I don't think
the government would go there because it's countrywide, it's a piece of legislation. There's actually a new thing I have. In some countries,
there's
some treaty issues as well, because the
office office is often back to England. Yes, I agree with what you're saying here. But we have a government in control that will do what it wants to put its policies through.
But I don't think we want to get stuck on that discussion tonight, because I don't think it's not something that they would come to
do.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether we stand on the boundaries, I prefer to stand on the line, but this is rejected.
The Mandarin Ward has its own ward, and has two councillors on that ward, and then Pettiford has its own board.
So Mandarin Ward and Pettiford, yes, elect two people to go to the Auckland Council. There's a reasonable issue. And then Pettiford will have its own local board, and Mandarin Ward will have its own local board. Now, as it stands at the moment, I haven't heard what the final will have five members on the Pettiford board, and I think Mandarin Ward has seven, and Mandarin Ward has two nice boards. Now, Mandarin Ward has
45.
I'm also greatly concerned about the $30 million that the United Board have paid to the Capricorn Council to get their long-term board members consent, and I'm at a serious head of track. And these are details that, have you any feeling on those things? Is the staff really worried about that?
Yes. The staff has been covered quite well. Apparently the ATA has produced a document around the staff transition from the existing council to the new body, and as far as we're aware, the staff are very happy with that transition document, and they work closely with the union.
So there's members failing, not the staff?
No, no, but the third bill has something different in it, so they want discussion with the third, like the union and the people to the ATO, they actually got the ATO on to the submission from the selectmen to talk about their documents. So I think that the staff are reasonably comfortable with that, and all the staff who are going to get jobs in the Auckland Council will know that the graduates start interviewing as the year progresses. What will happen to existing council functions as people move into new roles before the new council? You know, they'll be either way juggling two jobs, or it'll be hard, it'll probably become increasingly difficult to get to a local level because they'll already be trying to fulfil the roles, the new roles, and get the things up and running before the council starts.
Your concern about staff, because Carolyn's quite right, in the third level, it almost bypass regulations to go to HR employment. But that would make a concern that someone could get plucked out of a role of what they're doing at the moment, community services, and put into roving, and go against the employment contract that they've got, that's an individual equipment contract. So that has already been used in that thing.
I think if we
Is that a surprise? She said contracts can pay the rent of the whole line, and the government has a lot of resistance.
Just to carry on from that, and you have to look at the sector as well, to carry on quite right, but change your focus to state highway and significant. Where local roads, like we have main problems at the moment, like things we used to get through for it. If that happens on a road, you usually get subsidised by the USDA. At the moment, that subsidy has changed dramatically, and that's now reverting back to ratepayers have to pay for that. Mm-hmm. And it is. So it's quite, it is costing quite a bit of money from other avenues as well.
We're actually not, for all the motions I'm involved with the Regional and Transport Committee, and we're not surprised, we're waiting, almost waiting for the government to squeeze on the gold card, because it's been very long, and I have something to
do. Yeah,
and the older people are hungry.
I'm
just
remember that our 1,000 meeting that I know you were at, Mrs. Brown, John Carter promised the people in that room that the gold card will not proceed. So I don't think I'll stop altogether. Okay. They might tinkle with it.
Well, that's what the fellow said. If you cut the gold card down, the now the gold down people won't vote for them. And that's what he's afraid of.
That was the Brendan Officer's test, then, wasn't it?
start putting it in place and just keep boom boom over the through, boom 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 boom, don't stop for anything.
Because it does come down to there was supposed to be a set. I think it had to be around 60,
53,000, so we knew that we were suffering numbers, but it wasn't, I knew we had to do it. For from two taxpayer people,
yes.
More than that. Yes. But then you also have to look at deficit boundaries on like on streams, land management.
Well, it's right in the legislation that the Frank tends to have its own board with one councillor, mm-hmm. And we weren't sure whether they put a limit on that, or whether there was potential for them to be bigger than that, or whether they have to be separate. And also the other risk for us has been part of Manurewa Capital for a ward is the population weighting is towards Manurewa, so it's always going to be more difficult for Kapapura to get someone who knows Kapapura in that specific Auckland Council because there are more people living in Manurewa. And that's why we did the numbers game and say, well, if that ward is cut in half, I think it's 126,000, if that's cut in half, that would be 63,000 each ward. And that's why it was nice to say, well, look, we could just take a little bit of memory with that if they will give us a strong. That would get two boards of the same size, so we have one councillor each.
We wanted to be our own ward.
Yeah.
We went there, so yes. Can I just throw something in there that probably, and it's my personal opinion, that Kapapura has to be very careful because we are one of the department lines, one of the smallest boards, and I think the only reason that they threw us a bone is because Kapapura has put up for themselves and played Kapapura a very good job of promoting that charity and put a lot of time into that. And I think in Ashford Haddon, we would probably not be where we are now. There was a real strong risk in, I think, 6 years' time when they redo the boundaries again. Kapapura could disappear altogether because 45,000 people does not rank anywhere in to put into a board or a ward. We're Manurewa is strong enough to be its own ward. So we need to be thinking about that. We could lose people. I'm not saying it would, I don't mean that to be a threat. But in the back of my mind, I think we've only got a thousand brain for the short term. Let's clean up the next round.
So we're still waiting for the idea that the Manurewa people to move around the ultimate
but also the orange button going in Addison, and you know, actually by that time it would have been further ahead, another 20,000 people. Also, we need to ensure we have a really effective board that works well in the community and actually shows the dependence of good.
That's a very important point, Karen, for us. And it looks like it's pretty well done here. It's really important that you have a very, very strong board who will stick up the rights of each of the respective or Manurewa that you take the Auckland Council on.
Well, Frank, you know, the local boards are really important and that they are effective and work well and that support their communities because they do get some good because otherwise they can easily be criminals.
So there will be a lot of armour in what the Auckland Council.
Yeah.
And we'll have your eyes and know where
to go. And also, there is, you know, as I mentioned, the Auckland Council can take away responsibilities from local boards, so if they think you're doing too much from the oh, well, take that off you.
Yeah,
you can't have to worry about that.
How about just if we were able to start to organise, whether it be Brentonwide or Aucklandwide, a sort of protest, a non-payment of rent?
I don't agree with that. I don't know why. And a lady brought it up. Did you tell me anything that we get up from here? Kenny Brightman is here for them. I was quite supportive of Shane Grimshaw and basically shot him down. But it's irresponsible. You still have to pay that away, whether you agree with these people or not. You still got to have your infrastructure, your roading, your water, everything else. I agree in principle what I agree what you're trying to do, but I don't agree with it.
Yeah, so in other words, you don't agree with us having our say.
No, we didn't agree.
You could just roll over and do whatever they take.
And you're a new person to not good, you organise everyone. But I don't traditionally agree with it. I think that's going in a different direction.
The other day, after we finished our presentation at Select Committee, we were in the car park, the South Hedero came out, and we were doing the conversation, and he said, oh, you know, if you get a march of 25,000 people up 3 to the government, you have to listen.
We haven't looked at making a profit in libraries or anything else.
that's quite different. What, and the money bonds. Yeah, but suddenly people are like, oh, oh my goodness, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But yeah.
So it seems to be a major problem. I mean, if we look into the 23rd century, you've gone onto the internet, you can go onto the blog site and get some wonderful information. But apart from that, you sit on the hills, but they just started to come on the hills and shop settlement. And for most of the people in these areas, they don't see any of this. And like you say, with the local government being a strange sort of a group or something, that no one really knows much about, we've had enough information to actually hand it to us on the street corner.
I agree with you. I think we need enough surveillance system. I don't know why. I would have thought that we need more media pipe service as well. It's almost one of the way out.
Well, it's like we write a little story on this meeting for the Courier explaining what the ANK doctors have had. They have said it in the Courier, so that's, you know, the level of accuracy that the media are
on. But they or they want to see that. You know, that's why they
appear. That's the ANK. So that you're talking about, we're talking about a generation under us who have never been without jobs. They really don't know. They think the business model is fine. They enjoy it as a winner. I mean, hello? You know? I mean, but that's what we're up against. We're up against
90%.
From having actually spoken with the public in great numbers while handing out leaflets and meetings, people don't know. It's not a generation, people just don't know, don't care to make themselves aware of it. If you walk up to the 10 people in the street, 9 out of 10 of them think that after the October election, the council is going to be back in operation the next day and things will carry on as they always have been. People, they have no idea.
So how many people that I've spoken to, because she said, oh, it's a good idea and all the rest, and I said, well, why do you think it's a good idea? Quite commonly it comes out and goes, we're not going to live down here. And she said, do you realise you can't? I've never heard of one of them here anymore. Oh, they don't live there. But, no, that's quite good, isn't it? A lot of people do not bother finding the information.
I've only been here 45 years now, and when I first came to Papakura, none of them were lost in Papakura.
Recession was also pretty much caused by a bunch of professional people
the government can choose who the directors are and then one of the points we haven't brought up, because I was horrified with the CPO, apart from the transport authority, does not have to run public meetings like I'm surprised that I would have thought that the open meetings and a part of the I can't believe that
I've done this. One thing that I find quietly about this whole thing is that the three senior ministers that are in Parliament putting a lot of this all into place were junior ministers supporting Richard Bruce in terms of the Senate Chair policy. They're exactly the same people. They're only senior ministers now doing it all.
I don't know if George is a new minister.
He's a new minister, but there's
Petra has always been strong in his own interest, but they're in their case.
the city full stop. How did we feel about it? And we wrote it different times before. But one of them is we said, look, we still oppose it, and we don't agree with it, we don't like it. But we've also got to change our minds to work with the project, but if we don't, that's where we're going to go. So at the same time, we're opposing it, and we're trying to get constructive instances of what we can gain for Pepsara, and that's how we've tried to work parallel. We're still opposed, still opposed, still opposed, and quite an exit, but we've had to work with the system, the same as what Pepsara and Pepsara and Pepsara have got on, is working on what can we get and what our wins are. And I think that has been some in my mind. It's the same that at some stage you have to turn ahead to work with the system rather than use it, and it's probably coming very, very quickly.
Well, you're on the microphone. You've been out for nine. From that first meeting, the nearly 1,000 I was there, and each meeting was getting less and less. And tonight, it's a bit embarrassing who we represent.
Tonight, usually we get about 50 people. Tonight is low because the courier, the advert was right in the back of the paper, and they didn't do the editorial, and so,
We also have to be very careful. We, like anything that we spend with a break load of money, because we put the council and we set a budget that we would put on the fight to stay better, and we have to be very stringent on how we spend that money. So every time we do an advert or we run a public meeting, we need to sit down and think of what's our best bang for our buck. And that we don't go over the budget, because we have to be very careful. We have to look at improvement, and we have to be accountable to the other elected members, because we need to add to new rate cuts. So we've tried to be careful when we're spending the money, like some of the signs and stuff have been a bit shabby, but we've reused them and reused them and reused them to try and save money. Each ad is $750, and then if we've got 10 copies, it's going to add up a little bit more. If we had to rent the building that we're lucky we didn't, but now we don't own anymore in the function room, that would have cost us more money. So we've tried to be careful, but we have to be careful we don't be too prudent that we don't get commitments to it. And this one's probably a bit of a low key to a lot of people,
yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't be interested in this. We're, Caroline's working on some to bring some MPs back through it, to do some debates on non-transport issues. Because one of our favourite ones, the state that the Federal brought up, was when Pepsara disappears, we've got to make sure we've still got a strong community. So one of our initiatives is to have those debates, to try and bond Pepsara again. Hopefully they'll carry on after elections with the local board or the new council, that some of that, and that's a way of keeping your community strong, so they keep talking to each other, and they feel, even if Pepsara lost its name, it still has a strong community value, and that's important to us that we keep that value going on into the future. And if you lose that, we're gone. So that's one thing we're trying to do in one team.
So,
be very, very patient.
There are two points. One is going back to lunch up Queen Street. What do you have to do first place, don't you?
Maybe an example when the Hikoi was being organised, we supported the Hikoi, and we got a policeman come to the spirit room, and he says, you will not do this, and you will not do that, and you will not do that. And we have to remind them that there is a protest, and we will do this, and we will do that, and you will support it by giving the people safety. And they ran out of here and organised it quite quickly. So, if you're not people, you won't be rich for a
the Santa Claus get cancelled, your pothole in your road won't get fixed, your rubbish won't get collected, your recycling won't get collected, and so it's actually stopping your rate impact too. So also, councils have an ability to put a rate check on your house. So if you own a house and you have rates owing, that is attached to your house. And if you, in the interim, choose to sell your house, the money owed to rate gets taken first before you get your selling money. So it is a
council, my rates so if I refuse to pay my rates to Auckland City Council or to City Council in the interim, it's not a rating or so, and enough people did it. Isn't it going to hit the nerve somewhere?
You know what my fear is for that? There's people, and I don't mean stuck in disrespectfully, people will get stuck in that everyone can't, say we had put it down with them that they're going to pay their rates because they said they were not going to, sorry. Yeah. And Ross's point where he thought he had strong support for organised marks and the white factory and what's he like in here? Way guys that jump on board. Yeah. I had to say Franklin was very slow coming on board with him right here. The board shocked me. And I'm not saying I'm trying to say, so yeah. You organise a group and they say, well, they pay their rates and say 100 people didn't pay it and the rest 19,900 didn't pay it, people in the dirt. Both 100 people are going to get an extra charge for not paying their rates. They're going to get booked on Facebook. So you have to be a little bit careful that any cause the wrong sort of disruption. And my opinion is it's going to do it for those individual families. So that's why I'm careful where I say it.
This is a good scenario. If they refuse to pay my rates at the point in time, you walk into Facebook and then right at the last moment, I'll get to check my rates.
But in the meantime, you've become so called, you've got a history of that debt. Gets registered onto it into a that's my fear. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong on that. But I hate to see good families turn into non perception of not very good pay. So then they go and get credit at Nolene or something like that. Hello, you've got a fin here with a non-paid for rate.
Don't forget, you also want the rate. You want the rate to support the local board and the nation of the local services. So if again, if there was one local board area where people have been really
You're talking about a whole country that has forgotten the premise of unions and protests and all that. People these days, 9 out of 10 people will condemn unions for having strikes, but we don't do that in our time. Yeah, if that is the way they got there, the correct information would happen. Yeah. People have abandoned that way of thinking.
As much to go against the greater state. In both Australia's got to all that adoption of the French, they didn't like something, they just...
Oh, that's very
French. If you do a rapid revolt, it's legislated revenue, and there are so many penalties and catch-alls for collecting that, they will get you.
So that they will feel that they may lose hope, and so they've got to change their concept a little or step back a little bit. And so in that respect, we need to actually get a group together, we need to go around the doorknob and we need to drop off aspects we need to get a lot of people involved, and that's the only way we're going to get anywhere. I believe that. I've written a song which I've written some new words to a revolutionary song from members that I've met. And if anybody would like the words, we could all sing that song at Frank's.
Can I just remind people that, and I think that we'll have to do it over here, but that's not going to be here. We have 1,000 people come to that meeting. The next meeting we hear will be 50. And I can remember still people coming to their room for the same day that the government, what they do that same day, they something they release their same. And I remember people walking in the room and oh, it's all over, what are we doing here? And they were already, so I'm sure I take the credit then, but it's all over. And since then, there hasn't been the same amount of people who come to the meeting will be
interested.
And at our meeting, we asked the people if they want to do anything. Now it's time to do it. We would assist people getting together, and I think we had 11 people come out there, and that's how safe that current got formed. 11 out of 1,000 might have got broken. We've done it for both of them. And that happened throughout the whole region. People, I know people are busy and they've got to survive and all that, but especially now with the recession going on. So, trust me, I don't think the rate of result will have a lot of people following it. I could be wrong. Now, we've got any more discussion?
Yeah, we have some. What will happen? You put it in the fifth current corridor, or what the council is going to do for the year.
Mm.
Will that carry on?
Yes.
The
yeah, the first year is more or less stable quo. It comes off the annual plan.
Okay.
And I mean, it might be some, because the council starts in the first November, but I don't think we want to.
Because I saw in the courier when they're trying to name that picture theatre, the Virginia Road. And I said to William, why don't you name it Brown and Cullen? He said, why? I said, well, Cullen has done a lot for Kakakura in the few years. In the few years that he's been here, and I've been here 45 years, and I've never seen such a picture.
Right.
And I feel he should be recognized.
Legally,
we've still got to October, haven't we, to make a change?
I think it's even May.
Well, this is the 26th of March.
We'll
change from what?
No, but
leave
the space.
When is it finalised? The first bill, yeah, is they're finishing the area. I think it's May that she goes to the Parliament.
I've got out the May and the new council bill. I'm sure it's even May if it's the right.
Reputation-wise and money-wise into the entire super process, but
barring anything catastrophic, it won't be stopped at this point. And hopefully those stores are closed.
My personal opinion is I think most people have suggested
Thank you.